death, taxes, and the Dodgers bullpen being fucking awful. It's April, so you know you can rely on all those three things. This is Reese Nielsen with another edition of the Dodger Blogs audio podcast for 2016. I had a quite lengthy and impressive overview of this season's roster that I thought I posted, but when I hopped on here this afternoon, it looks as if that never happened, and that was from a couple weeks ago, and now it's not going to be relevant whatsoever. Hello, everybody. Good to be back. Hopefully I have some new and fun followers this season. My jaded play-by-play analysis will always be accessible through @DodgersAudio. And look forward to interacting with all of you in the upcoming months. Even when the Dodgers are losing, they're still the Dodgers, and that's what makes every day, or at least 162 of them, the very least, more enjoyable. So the Dodgers just got fresh off of a 4-2 loss to the lowly Diamondbacks, who started the season 2-5 through their first seven games. And now what would have been a nice-looking 5-3 is now a 4-4, and what would have been a disastrous-looking 2-6 for the newly padded roster in Phoenix, Arizona, now looks like a less depressing, you can step back from the ledge, 3-5 record for the D-backs, who seem to be sporting an entirely new look this season. I'm going to safely assume that whoever designed their new uniforms competed in a men's softball league full of guys who think that they're should be pro athletes based on the design and colors. Anyways, Kenta Maeda, or however you want to say it, looks pretty darn good. 12 shutout innings to start his career as a pitcher in the major leagues, and more importantly, as a Dodger. Kept a very close 1-0 game into the bottom of the sixth, where he got a final out on the Dodgers' highlight of the day, which was a should-be game-tying double to the right field wall by the Diamondbacks. But Puig had other ideas. Barehanded hop off the wall. Perfect throw to Justin Turner, who then threw a perfect one-hop strike to AJ Ellis for the tag to keep the shutout and the lead intact, which seemed great and wonderful until the big bad Dodgers bullpen came in and reared their ugly head again. Chris Hatcher, my gosh, not having the start to a season that you like to see out of your middle relief, a guy that we were expecting to see a lot of this season, comes into the game, notably less enigmatic or animated than he was in San Francisco when he was seeming to pick arguments on every single pitch. All of these bullpen guys, they're all grooving pitches. It's really nice to finally see a bullpen full of cats who can throw in the mid to high 90s. That's a nice change of pace for this Dodgers bullpen that seemed to just be getting older and older every year, save for either Javi Guerra being your closer or now Kenley Jansen. We are now into about a five-year stretch where the Dodgers bullpen, it doesn't matter what kind of stuff they have or what kind of names they bring in or how much money they spend. If you're going to put it over the heart of the plate in key scenarios late in games, you are creating a recipe for disaster. And that's just what this team's MO has been for now close to a half of a decade. People want to know if we're actually wasting Clayton Kershaw's prime. The answer is yes. That's why Greinke went kicking and screaming on his way out of town. It wasn't that tired narrative of Puig and clubhouse issues and yada, yada, yada. People can withstand Yasiel Puig to be a professionally highly paid athlete in this one of the prettiest, most happening cities in the entire country. They can put up with that. But what they can't put up with is wasting time. Their money is made, but they want legacy. And his legacy was being wasted, as is Clayton Kershaw's currently. Fortunately for Dodger fans, we just locked him down to a colossal deal that's going to last throughout his entire prime. And he's the kind of kid who, you know, would never find opportunities to play his way or opt his way out of those. So ultimately, what you're dealing with is you're dealing with a franchise in the Los Angeles Dodgers that has watched their bitter rivals to the north, the San Francisco Giants. They now have 3 rings in the 2010s. That is a half decade of dominance. And you want to know what that dominance comes from? 2 things. Hitting with runners in scoring position and a reliable bullpen. You look at all the close games that the Dodgers have won or the Dodgers have lost over the last 5 years, and you see a very different feeling or vibe or picture being painted than that in San Francisco. San Francisco finds clutch hitting. They find a way to score runs with runners in scoring position and a lot of times with 2 outs. And their bullpens lock games down. Conversely, the Dodgers cannot hit with runners in scoring position. Some of the worst batting averages in this scenario in the entire sport. And I would venture to guess that it's, you could even, you know, throw in international leagues in college baseball too. It would still be pretty glaringly bad. And then also a bullpen of rotating faces, faceless bullpen that nobody fears. And it's frustrating. Even the games that the Dodgers have won in the last 5 years that were close games, those tended to be nail-biting Samuel L. Jackson telling the Jurassic Park people, hang on to your butts, with a cigarette hanging out of his mouth, hoping that the security fence would go back on and the Raptors wouldn't come into the building. That's what every night in a game where you have to bring in Kenley Jansen in the 8th inning and ask him to do a 2-inning save, that's what it's felt like for years. And it's one of those things where the new ownership came in and inherited a broken system. You look at the Dodgers farm system, it is now finally getting healthy. But the one thing that's missing is a bunch of young arms with some heat like you see in San Francisco or the New York Mets or the Chicago Cubs or whatever, insert Team X, where half of their roster is underpaid and overperforming. The Dodgers have always had a bloated contract. They took that on when they took on the Adrian Gonzalez-Carl Crawford trade. We all knew that that money was being eaten to curb some of the gap or inefficiency in the team's production that was caused by a ravaging ownership scenario. And ultimately, as they start to shed salary relief, you're going to need to see younger kids step up. And when you brought, you know, when you see guys like the Mets young arms and a bullpen with a lot of stuff, and you just think to yourself, why don't we have that? Well, the Dodgers have had to go out and make trades over the last few seasons just to shore up their starting rosters. They're not going out and getting a bunch of young cats who throw fire. And ultimately, what you're dealing with is a team that, until they fix their bullpen, will have a very hard time competing for any kind of titles. Welcome back to the Dodger blog. I love you all. Have a great day.